The Vision app is the best place to find a growing range of on-demand audio for the whole family. Your kids or grandkids can listen to the popular radio drama Adventures in Odyssey and two-minute Bible stories called Quick Sticks whenever it suits you. Whether you're in the car for a few minutes or for a longer trip, these two programs will keep the kids entertained. New episodes are added every weekday in the free Vision Christian Media app. If you don't already have the app on your smartphone or tablet, download it now from vision.org.au/app.
vision.org.au/app.
Vision.
A biblical perspective on life, culture, and current events. This is 2020 on Vision.
First, we want to go to David Robinson because he's been fact-checking on this very contentious and very evil issue of abortion in modern-day Australia. David, I want to welcome you to the program again today.
Yeah, it's great to be with you. Glad to be sharing with you, although it's a very, in one sense, a very divisive subject and a very painful subject, I'm sure even for some of those who are listening as well, and we're deeply conscious of that.
Absolutely. So obviously in the US presidential election, that recent debate, there was a lot of fact-checking going on. It did seem to be biased toward one way. They were only fact-checking Trump. I didn't see much fact-checking of Harris. But you've been doing your own fact-checking on the claims of people about abortion. Tell us what you found.
Yeah, well, I'm not doing this as a kind of political thing in that I think one of the shames about this is how it has all been politicized. But in terms of that debate, I went through all that Harris in particular said about abortion. I think Trump was a little bit confused at times, and I don't really know where he stands, although I know his policy, at least some of it. But I was astounded that there were at least 12 things that I would suggest that she got wrong, and any decent moderator would have fact checked her on them. But of course, in our culture, particularly in so much of the media, abortion is assumed as a human right, and nobody stops to think about what it really is and how it's, you know, I mean, I accept it's a complex issue at one level, but at the very least, we should get our facts right. So that's what I was trying to do.
Okay, well, that's a lot of facts that you've checked. There are 12 things that you believe we're wrong. Let's go through them, David. Tell us what they are.
Okay, well, I think the most important is probably the statement, abortion is reproductive health care. Now, for those of the listeners who are familiar with George Orwell's 1984, that's what we call Orwellian language. In 1984, Orwell invented this idea of doublespeak. And, you know, war is peace. Lies are truth, love is hate. Well, abortion is not about reproduction. It's about preventing reproduction, not enabling it. Its purpose is to stop the birth of a child. And in more than 99% of cases, it is not about health care in the sense of health care of the mother. There are a tiny percentage, a very, very small, it's 0.001%, I think, percent of abortions are needed to preserve the life of the mother. But to call it healthcare is quite extraordinary. I mean, the phrase I use goes along the lines of abortion is to reproductive freedom as slavery is to economic freedom. So it's fascinating that this phrase reproductive healthcare. So Kamala Harris says her grandmother went around the villages in India arguing for reproductive health care. I guarantee you she didn't. I guarantee you she went around and argued for abortion. Calling it reproductive health care is, you know, one of the really interesting things for the listeners is that the way that language gets changed and, euthanasia, mercy killing becomes euthanasia and so on, and then assisted dying, not even assisted suicide. Abortion now is reproductive health care. So I just find that quite chilling, actually, because it's the very opposite of health care. So that was the first and the major one.
Well, let's stop there. I'd like to know where these villages are in India that Harris's grandma allegedly went around arguing for abortion. My understanding of Indian culture is they value marriage and they don't value promiscuous activity amongst men or women. So I can't imagine that's true. Is that one of your 12 facts that you were able to check? I suppose.
Well, that was another one. I mean, I didn't know whether or not that was true, but I was absolutely certain that her grandmother didn't go around talking about reproductive health care. That's a 21st century Western American liberal progressive tautology, really. And then another one, I mean, there were various facts I think she got wrong about Trump, but along the similar lines, I will restore the protections of Roe v. Wade. But those are not protections for the child. I mean, that's the astonishing thing. And then the other thing that she did was she was challenged to say, should there be any restriction on abortion? And she refused to answer, because if she admitted there should be any, then she's contradicting her own position of you shouldn't tell government shouldn't tell someone a woman what to do with her body. And if she's saying there should be none, then you're in the horrific scenario of a child who's gone to full term being able to be aborted. Now, there was another lie in that. She said it's insulting to the women of America to suggest that women are asking for abortion near full term. Now, as I say, if that is the case, there are six states in America: Alaska, Colorado, Maine, Maryland, Michigan, Minnesota, actually New Jersey and Oregon, and Vermont, so that's nine, and the District of Columbia, where their governments all allow abortion on demand up to full term. So is it insulting to the women of these states to say that that can happen? In California, Harris's own state, they restrict abortion up to fetal viability. Her running mate, Tim Walz, passed a law saying that you could have abortion up to 9 months for any reason. And incidentally, he also passed a law which lessened the protections of babies. And this has been a thing in Australia recently coming up to the Senate, where there have been babies where there's been an attempted abortion and the baby's been born alive. There is a duty of care for that baby, but not if it's an attempted abortion in Minnesota, and apparently not in Australia either. People say that doesn't happen, but there are plenty of examples of that happening. So again, I think that's avoidance is one way of putting it, but I just think it is absolutely, I mean, horrific. We can go with many of the exceptions, people could say certain things, and there are complexities in abortion, but it is horrific to think that someone has a right to kill a child up to 9 months, and if the child is born alive, that baby can just be left to die. That is absolutely chilling for me.
Well, it's an evil. It actually is an evil, David. And, you know, the Romans were not perfect people, but when they finally sacked Carthage after defeating Hannibal for the last time, they found a heap of skeletons of small children, and they were horrified that the Carthaginians obviously engaged in some form of child sacrifice or something. And many of the ancient cultures in the Old Testament did the same, child sacrifice. And in a bizarre sort of a way, our society's degenerated to the same point, because let's be honest, this is about sex. This is about people sleeping with who they want, when they want, how they want. And if there's a baby as a consequence, well, hey, I'll just get rid of it. And this is my right. This is my body. That's the sales pitch, isn't it? But we're neglecting our fundamental responsibility as humans to reproduce and to care for the young. And that's how I see it, Dave. And it's just awful that our political leaders are effectively endorsing that very thing.
Well, it is, because my argument is that abortion will lead to what the Australian philosopher Peter Singer called post-birth abortion. In other words, infanticide. You know, they'll find other words to make it sound friendlier, as they do. But as regards to the Romans, it's very, very interesting. You're absolutely spot on. The Romans and the Greeks and the pagans, they did indulge in infanticide, and they actually indulged in what I was talking about in terms of babies that were born after an attempted abortion just left to die. They exposed infants they didn't want, by the way, often girls, and just left them out to die in the cold, in the elements. They didn't actually kill them, but they did, because they left them on their own to the wolves, even to the wild animals. And when Christianity came along, it sought to protect the life of the very weakest. And I think our progressives are not progressing. They are regressing into a Greco-Roman pagan view of the world. And if I can go even further, I would suggest that we're in biblical terms, it's the Old Testament god of Molech, where children were sacrificed to Molech. And 99% plus reason for abortion is to do with economics. We are sacrificing children, babies, because of economic reasons. Now, there are reasons why someone would want to have an abortion that you can completely understand. There are extreme cases, and there's a lot that the church needs to do, and actually, to be honest, the state needs to do to help and support women. But the notion that the right to kill your own child in the womb is something that's a fundamental of modern society is absolutely chilling. I mean, I've just been reading in Ezekiel, and it talks about, the Lord talks about one of the things he has against his people is that they become a culture of bloodlust. And I think we are very, very close to that. When I see people wearing T-shirts celebrating the abortion they've had, it is stomach-churningly, evil. And I wanted to mention one of the lies that I think sometimes people get confused about. She said this: the government and Donald Trump especially do not have the right to tell a woman what to do with her body. Now, that's the argument from bodily autonomy. But actually, the argument is completely hypocritical. Kamala Harris is a government official in a government that makes lots of laws about the body. You know, for example, we ban drink driving. I can't fill my body with as much alcohol I want and go on the road. That's threatening my bodily autonomy. We, for example, Kamala Harris's government mandated that you had to have a vaccine. Well, if you're going to work for the federal government, that was, again, tied in with bodily autonomy. So my argument would be, we don't allow people, sorry to be crude, but we don't allow people to defecate in public gardens or to walk naked down the high street and so on. And government does restrict what we can do with our bodies, but especially when it involves the lives of other human beings. And in this case, abortion most certainly does. I challenge anyone. People try and say, oh, it's not a human being. It's just a fetus and so on. And I mean, I'll give you two instances of that. I remember one teenage girl who came to see me. And again, I'm conscious that people will be listening who maybe have gone through this. And one of the things I would say is, you know, in Christ, there is forgiveness. And I remember this girl coming enormously upset, 16 years old. And I asked her what was wrong. And she said, well, I had an abortion 2 days ago. And then she said to me, they lied to me. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, the social worker and the doctor told me it was just like having a wart removed. Yeah. But she said, it wasn't, was it? That was a baby. And I said, yes, it was a baby. And she said, that was my baby. And I said, yes, it was your baby. And then I spoke to her about Christ and the forgiveness that comes with Christ. But I thought, what a wicked and cruel lie to say it's just a wart. My previous congregation, we went through a particularly fertile period where there were a lot of women who were pregnant. And I would never have gone to one of them and said, oh, don't worry, it's just a wart. And you had the paradox there. The Scottish government set up a fund and a counseling service for people who had miscarriages because they recognized it was the loss of a human life. At the same time, the Scottish government promoted abortion. And the contradiction inherent in that is absolutely, appalling. I mean, this may be a bit crude, but it kind of got the point over. I was debating with someone, which you shouldn't do on Twitter or now X, and this was a few years ago, and they said, oh, it's just eggs. And I said, well, yeah, no way. I said, you don't go into your local cafe and ask for scrambled fetus on toast. I said, that's gross. You know, and actually the comedian Ricky Gervais picked up on that, and my phone never stopped pinging because he retweeted it. Because he thought it was, amongst other things, he thought it was funny, but he thought it made the point. But I think it does make the point. I wasn't really joking at all. I'm saying nobody thinks that. We don't, when a member of royalty gets pregnant, we don't speak of the royal fetus. You know, it's the royal baby. And you know, I think, as I say, it's more complex than maybe I'm putting across. But at its fundamental level, it's not. We're talking about human life. And that's the big lie. The big lie is there's only one body involved. No, there's not. There's at least, people would say, I was going to say two, but actually there's at least three, if not more. So, for example, the father who is expected to look after and pay for the child. That's involved. I remember one young man coming to me absolutely distraught because his girlfriend was going to have an abortion. There is another body involved. Grandparents are involved. You know, lots of people are involved. This is not just about one body. And to say that it is one of the lies of the devil. And I do regard it that way. I think the devil is the father of lies. And sadly, when there are women who believe that they are carrying is not a human being, that's, to me, that's on the level of believing in a flat earth, except worse.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like what you said about it was when Christianity came to European culture that things like what's the word you use when they were murdering
someone? Infanticide.
Yeah, yeah. That was abolished by Christianity, by their Christian influence. And it's so sad that the West now, we've allowed the light of Christianity to diminish in our societies, and now we are allowing things like this to become mainstream in our culture. And it really is a blight in our society. And as you said, David, it is a complex issue. And for anyone who has perhaps had an abortion, you know, the Lord loves you and he can forgive you, and there's grace and there's also restoration and healing. We're not here to condemn anyone. But as a society, we should be raising the standards much higher than this, shouldn't we? That we discourage people from making such an easy choice as opposed to making it so easy for them. And they do something which, I mean, I know of women who 20, 30 years after an abortion, David, are just racked with guilt. They never get over it.
Oh, absolutely. And I've seen that in my own pastoral work and had to deal with that. But also the other lie that's involved here, it's just the woman that makes the choice. Do you know this? Abortion is something that for some men, is very, very convenient because they don't have to face the consequences. And there are women who have been compelled to have abortions. You know, in China, when it was the one-child policy, and now they're reaping the results of that, or the fruit of that, there were compulsory abortions. And I'm not saying we have compulsory state abortions, but I am saying we're in a situation where men can pressurize women into abortion. And that has been done, and often is done. And it's not just, you know, physically pressuring people. There's a social pressure that comes on as well. So I did a podcast on the whole issue of abortion, and I got emails, in particular, some of them very moving. One from a mother who dissuaded her teenage daughter from having an abortion, although everyone around her was saying she ought to have one. And she's now talking about the wonderful grandchildren she has, you know, and that they're growing up and so on. And, you know, I think that what's happening in our culture, in our society, is appalling, that we pressurize people as well. Now, of course, I know that there are people who choose to have abortion, but it's not just as simple as it is often put.
Absolutely. Now, what's a couple of other facts that you checked that Harris stated in that debate which weren't true?
Well, so for example, she said, and she keeps saying this, she said there was no state in this country where it's legal to kill a baby after it was born. That was actually one of the moderators that said that. Whilst that's true at one level, infanticide is not strictly legal. Leaving an aborted baby who's born alive to die is in some of the states, particularly in Minnesota. The former Virginia governor, Ralph Northam, testified that that was the case. She also said Donald Trump will sign a national abortion ban under his Project 2025. Trump denies that Project 2025 is his, and he's also explicitly stated, I'm not in favor of an abortion ban. I don't agree with him by the way, but she just lied about that. Doctors are scared of treating miscarriages in case they are accused of abortion. Well, again, if that was the case, the doctors are not particularly smart, because there's a fundamental difference between miscarriage, which is sadly all too prevalent. Many of us have experienced that. A miscarriage is different from abortion. And to give you an example, there's a lady just now in Georgia who sadly died. And Kamala Harris is using her case as this is what happens under the abortion ban. But the reality is she took two abortion pills. She had bleeding and so on. It's possible, we don't know whether the doctors were reluctant to treat her or not. If they were, they were wrong, because the Georgia law says that you can treat people whose life is in danger. And clearly her life was in danger. But she died because she took abortion pills. There are 20 women who have died in the US because they've taken abortion pills. And you do not get Kamala Harris and others standing up and saying, well, therefore, we ought not to have abortion pills. You know, so I think I'm astounded that this has become such a politicized thing, and I'm astounded that we can so casually speak about death.
Yeah, and it's really interesting. I think it illustrates that many of the world leaders are in a bubble, and Harris is definitely in the political elite bubble, because a recent survey was done in America, and they asked, what are your major concerns leading up to the election? Number one was the economy, as you can understand, and number two was this abortion issue. So this is such an important issue for the average American. And yet Harris thinks by standing on a platform like Hillary Clinton did and basically trumpeting that she believes in wholesale abortion, that she's going to garner a lot of support. I think the thing that Trump did right in his first election win is he came out and said that every unborn child is a life, and the Christians and those who were against abortion really rallied behind him. I think he's made a big mistake this time, as you said, because he's not strong on it anymore, and he's trying to have it a little bit both ways. And I think he's trying to basically hand over responsibilities to the states and say that he won't do anything nationally about it. And I think he's probably dropped the ball there and lost a lot of support from Christians, because he doesn't seem as strongly opposed to abortion this time as he did last time.
I don't think he'll lose support, because I think the alternative is so much worse. So I actually don't think he'll lose support. And I think in one sense he's playing politics, which I don't like. But basically, because incessantly, I mean, the ABC, the BBC, all will use the phrase reproductive health rights. Every, you know, politician, even those who are opposed to, don't seem to be able to articulate the case against abortion, which is just simply that there is more than one human body involved here, you know. And it's so easy to prove that, you know. It's absolutely shocking that nobody makes that case, but it's seen as a universal right. I mean, I'm called a fascist because I'm opposed to killing the baby in the womb, which is just really quite extraordinary.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, it astounds me that it's become such a cult part of culture. You know, so in schools, for example, I mean, in the United Kingdom just now, there's a party called the Liberal Party, which is different from the Australian one. It's kind of Liberal Democrat, you know, more left wing. And they basically just banned somebody from standing as one of their candidates because he's against abortion and saying that's against their values. So now we have a political party where if you hold to a Christian position, you are excluded. And I would say that that is very much a danger within Australia as well. Now, thankfully, I know people in the Labour and Liberal, not the Greens, but Labour, Liberal, the National, others, who are opposed to abortion. But it's strange how someone who holds my position, which is the position of the Pope, it's the position of virtually all Christian churches since the beginning, which is that we don't kill the baby in the womb, that if you hold this position, you're regarded as some kind of extremist.
Yeah.
Which is such an extreme position. It's crazy.
Well, it's ridiculous. And it's like you said, it's the doublespeak of George Orwell. But David Robinson, we need to move on, but it's always good talking with you. If you want to read more from David, he writes on a blog called The We Fly.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.